Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we get caught up on some new music.
Wait, how can you get caught up on new music? By definition, if time has passed, then it isn't new.
Well, I don't know. You try writing 600 of these intros.
This is I've never had this.
What is
that? It's a session IPA, and it says it's from an organic brewery, but I thought all breweries were organic.
Does that have corn syrup?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't list the ingredients, so I'm not sure. Peak Organic Brewing.
All right.
What Portland, is that? Maine.
Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, it does have the USDA organic label. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So at least you're being healthy.
That's right.
With that beer.
I only put very natural things into my body.
That's
grown from the earth.
That's right.
That's right.
Barley.
That's right. Leaves. Sticks.
Ah, very good. Okay. All right, so and that's from Peak
Organic Brewing,
Company,
yeah, it's 4%.
All right,
kind of refreshing. It's a good lawnmower beer, I think. Yeah,
or a good podcast beer.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a new week. It's Monday.
It is. Happy Monday, Jim.
And we're gonna get caught up here some more with the fan mails. We also recently did. Was that also last week? The new musics? No, a couple of weeks ago. We did new music episodes as we like to do every month.
Yeah, those are fun.
And now people are contributing their own new music selections.
Good.
Listeners are
starting to work.
But we have not exactly been on the ball with this. So we have new music picks from people dating back to like January or February.
2014.
This year. So this is not necessarily March new music. I think
that's
we're going to
okay,
work our way
though.
Up to that.
But yeah.
We're just going to take them in order. We're going to do this over two episodes, the next 2 days.
Okay.
Four listeners per episode.
Great.
And we're just kind of go in the order that we receive them. So
why
some
not?
Of these, some of this music may not be brand new, but it's all new from
it's
this
all
year.
All new to you.
Right? Okay. We have that worked out? Is that all?
I think it's clear, Jim. If you haven't heard it,
it's
rules, still new to you, right?
Right?
Yeah.
Am I breaking any laws here?
I don't think so, because it is still new to you
okay.
if you haven't heard it.
Maybe they've already heard it, though.
Well, then tune to another podcast.
Then just
no,
drink
never
more.
Do that. Yeah,
okay,
that's right. Just listen again.
And it'll sound new. All right, it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And here we have an audio email. People send in, the way that works is they don't just talk into their email machine.
I wish they could.
They record. I mean, the way they do, they record under their computer a little audio file, and then they attach it to the email, and they send us the email.
Yeah, that's
and
cool.
We got one of those from Zach Seifert of New Orleans.
Sweet.
Hey, Jim and Patrick, this is Zach Seifert here, NOLA Zach, down in balmy mid-70 degree New Orleans, and just wanted to call in or send this in to discuss the new Bob Mould album, Sunshine Rock, and saw that you guys went to see him at the 930 Club. Looking forward to hearing a review of that. Only got to see him one time back in 2005, I believe, for the Body of Song tour at the El Rey in Los Angeles, and I loved it. Wasn't crazy about his mid-aughts electronica phase, but concert was amazing. So hope you guys had a good time. But I want to talk about Sunshine Rock. It is impressive. I've got to admit, I've liked all of his work since moving to Merge in 2012 for Silver Age. But this is different. This is a different album. Even it's definitely Bob Mould, but it just feels different. And I guess it's just a positive album, which is weird coming from Bob Mould. You'd never think you'd hear that, but you know, Silver Age was good, but dealing with aging, I guess, and coming back to the alt-rock scene after his forays into electronica for several years. Beauty and Ruin, more aging and death, but mostly dealing with the death of his father. Past the Sky was really dark because he was clearly dealing with his mom's death. But this one, it's like he's come out the other side, and it's an interesting, very intelligent album. So Sunshine, I mean, the opening track is a brilliant blistering track. You know, it seems like it's 30 years later answer to Standing in the Rain. It's just that it feels like the flip side of Standing in the Rain from somebody who has matured. I'm not going to go through all of the tracks, but just some important ones. To me, it's like, What Do You Want Me to Do has just this amazing opening run riff with this great upwards exclamation at the end of it that just drives the song and propels it. And it's just so much fun just to listen to. 30 Dozen Roses. I mean, that one sounds like it's an abandoned track from Candy Apple Gray or Warehouse Songs and Stories. It's got a Husker feel to it. It just like he's calling back to that, but with a new perspective. And then there's Strings on Final Years and Irrational Poison. Strings on a Bob Mould album? What the heck? But they work. Final Years is the lyrics are amazing, but the strings just kind of add a poignancy and a nice kind of breather after 30 Dozen Roses. And then they surprisingly are the main propellant in Irrational Poison. So it's nice to hear some different modes coming from Mould. You can definitely tell it's him, but it's just, it sounds so different. And on the flip side, it's just a consistent album all the way through. There's a positivity to it, even though, I'll keep going. Lost Faith sounds honestly like it's a workbook era idea scrapped or improved, or maybe it could have been a potential collaboration with REM, the way it's structured and the way it sounds. It really sounds like late 90s, early aughts REM stuff. So that would have been an interesting, I would love to hear that, heard that. But I mean, overall, even the darker songs have this lining of hopefulness. I mean, there's a clarity and self-realization of somebody who's had to, you know, power through tragedy, you know, loss of parents, failed relationships, embracing himself as a gay man in America, came out the other side with, I mean, no loss of power or aggression, but I mean, just really refocused to understand more nuanced aspects of human relationships, loss and change. You know, it's his most mature work, hands down, not just because he's older, but it really feels like his most introspective, but not dark. Like he's seeing other sides to himself and to the human condition. It's almost his answer, his matured answer to Black Sheets of Rain, which to me, along with like Alice in Chains' Dirt or Rollins' band End of Silence, are some of the darkest records I think I've ever heard. This is him coming out the other side, and it's a hopeful answer, which is, I mean, given the weird-ass times we live in and what's going on, to come out with a positive album. I know that's been remarked about a lot about on, you know, in the interviews and social media, so I'm not saying anything interesting here, but just to listen to it in this age when it's easy to go kind of crazy and angsty, to hear someone of his, you know, that was his bread and butter, to make this album is gutsy and intelligent. And I'm just so happy I finally got a copy of it. My local record store forgot to order it last week. I don't know why. They're usually really good with the merge stuff, but they forgot. So they finally ordered it, and I picked it up a week late, and I've gotten to listen to it now several times. And it's his most accessible album in a long time. I mean, I love Beauty and Ruin and Patch the Sky, but they're dense and they're difficult. This one is open and interesting and just impressive all the way around. So that's my take on, for me, the release of the winter. I've been looking forward to this for a while. So I'm glad I got it. And just wanted to note a couple of other things, because I was working really long hours on a couple of movie productions, so I didn't get a chance to listen every day like I should. So I was catching up, and I got to say thank you for noting the Coos album soundtrack to Sorry to Bother You. If you haven't seen it, it's streaming. The movie is really unique. Boots Riley did a great job of making something really, I mean, just a new voice in cinema. It's fun. It's weird. It takes a weird, you know, left turn in the, you know, end of the second act, beginning of the third act, but stick with it. It's a lot of fun. But mostly, that soundtrack is unbelievable. The whole thing, not just that one song, which is, I do love that song. but the whole thing is great. Janelle Monáe guests on a couple of tracks. Killer Mike is on it. Overall, it's just amazing. Between that and the Black Panther soundtrack, it was a good year for soundtracks, which normally I don't like because they just seem afterthoughts or kind of pointless add-ons to the movie. But those two soundtracks, but especially Sorry to Bother You, was unbelievable. I listen to it constantly. It's in my rotation all the time. So that's it. Signing off from New Orleans, and I hope you guys are doing well. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
Oh, man. Nola Zach. Great to hear from him. It's been a while. That was awesome.
I don't know that we really have to say that much about Bob Mould. He pretty much went through the whole record
very
there.
Very poignant. And once again, Jim, the listeners are smarter than we are. I thought all of Zach's observations were really smart. I did finally get around to watching Sorry to Bother You. It's a super trippy flick.
Oh,
I don't watch
a
lot of movies, but definitely worth it. Says a lot about race and power in America, so it's definitely worth watching, and it does have a twist. And one thing I'd like to say really quick, Jim, about what Zach said that really struck me was I love the way that he talked about how certain songs on the new album, well, actually two things. Let me say this first. Songs on the new album reminded him of more polished or more expertly executed songs from other albums. He mentioned Workbook and Candy Apple Gray. I think that's a great observation. I think when you are an artist of Bob Mould's caliber who has created such an impressive, deep, and meaningful body of work, sometimes you will go back to little riffs or variations that you created and try to either improve on them, whether it's conscious or subconscious, I don't know. But I think that's a great observation. I think it happens in anybody's deep American body of work or any body of work, and I think it's important to note that. And the second thing is, earlier I said that the cover was super bad on Sunshine Rock, and then you pointed out to me that it really was kind of a Capitol Records label that I didn't even really realize, so I want to apologize for saying it was crappy.
When you said that on the earlier episode, I didn't make the connection then. It was only after we recorded.
I think
like the next day, I was like, oh, it's the Capitol Records
and I never
label, 45
that.
Label.
Right. What's sort of the, you know, the spiral going into each other. And when you play it, I'm sure, you know, it
so
used
I wonder,
to turn around.
I wonder what he's trying to say there. Again, does that fit into sort of the positive thing, or is it trying to suggest that, my sense is maybe it's probably trying to suggest that these songs are like singles in a way, or, you know, meant to be. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this. I know that if you read Bob Mould's autobiography, he does talk about how when he was a kid, his father, I think one of his jobs was he maintained jukeboxes or he like reloaded them or whatever, right? And he would bring him home the singles that were not, that were out of rotation, out of the jukebox, right? So Bob cherished this collection he had of 45s back in the day. So maybe it's an homage to that in some way.
It could be.
I don't know.
Yeah, very much so.
We'll play a song here in just a second here from Sunshine Rock. But before we do, speaking of new music and Merge Records, which is Bob's label for the last four albums.
Yep.
And the show that Zach referenced that I went to at 930 Club, the opening act at that show was Titus Andronicus.
Nice.
Right? And just today at 6:05 p.m. today as we record this, I got an email from Merge Records. I'm on their mailing list.
Sure.
About new Titus album.
Nice. That's great news.
Yes.
So Breaking.
So there's a new Titus album coming out on June 21st.
Fantastic.
Called An Obelisk. Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah.
O-B-E-L-I-S-K. Mm-hmm. Obelisk. Obelisk.
So it's on the cover of Led Zeppelin's Presence, I believe.
Which finds them... Oh, this is interesting. Their sixth album, which finds them under the stewardship of producer and legendary rocker Bob Mould.
Oh, no way.
So Bob Mould produced the new Titus Andronicus album.
Makes sense. Okay.
This is very exciting.
Yeah, that is very cool.
And I did notice when he opened that show that he was playing some new songs. There were songs I was not familiar with. And one of them here, the lead single, is called I Blame Society. Mm. And I do remember him playing that.
Nice.
So this is exciting.
Nice.
You
Check
heard it here
out.
First.
Right.
Yes.
And Patrick, you know, poked some good-natured fun at Bob Mould's crowd, right?
Oh, yeah.
When he was at the show.
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah. So I think they have a good relationship,
yeah, that's
which is
great.
Very cool. So, all right. Was there anything in particular off of Sunshine Rock that Zach mentioned? Or
quite a few, but you know it better than I do, whatever you think is appropriate to play.
I think Irrational Poison, because he talked about the strings and how interesting that was.
Sure.
And he said strings really drive that song, so that might be a little different
thing.
We'll play that. All right. So this is off Sunshine Rock, Bob Mould, Irrational Poison. I swear to you. Wow, that's something, though. That is powerful something.
Yeah, amazing. All
right, I'm going to grab a beer. What's our next?
Jesse Boren wrote us a quick note, Jim. Hey, guys. Have y'all heard any of this new songs from Jenny Lewis? Check out Red Bull and Hennessy. Sounds great. I have to say, I have not listened to the new Jenny Lewis album. Jim, how about you?
A little bit. Only a little bit. I tried to listen to it one day while I was at work, and I felt that it was not a fair listening. Like, I feel like she's kind of artist that requires more of my undivided attention.
Sure.
So I kind of gave up a little bit into it, and I need to go back to it. Maybe that'll be a good car listening someday.
That'd probably be good on a heavy traffic day. That is called On the Line, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's Red Bull and Hennessy. Let's listen to it now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Bull and Hennessy.
Yeah, it was nice, man.
That does not sound like a good combination to me.
I like
the song. The song was fine, but
you know,
the song was good.
Red Bull with anything, and it's going to pep you up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
I did read something at some point. Ringo Starr plays on this album.
What?
Yes, he plays on one track on this Jenny Lewis album. How did that happen?
Richard Starkey?
Yes.
They got him?
Yes, he does. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know. Well, you know, Jenny Lewis has got some gravitas now, I think.
I think right? so, too. Yeah. And I think you can hear from that track, at least, and I will go and listen to the album, that she sounds confident. It sounds like a confident record by a songwriter who
knows. It's getting great reviews.
Yeah,
getting
exactly.
Great reviews. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the Ringo Starr thing, too, she has a classic pop sound.
Yes,
you know?
Very much so.
And
her great cover of, you know, a famous rock supergroup, I think, sort of proved that she can do that style of music, right? Traveling Wilburys, I'm referring to.
Yes. You know, so I think it fits. I also think she kind of walks a tightrope with a lot of her music in that way, too, because it has this kind of radio pop sensibility, maybe, you know, often I think of kind of 70s-ish, but it never sounds cheesy, you know, and I think that's what you're getting into. There's a real confidence in how she pulls this off, and and you get the sense that this is her true self coming through in this music. And so because of that, I think it tends to avoid those pitfalls. And plus, I think she's just a really good songwriter too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a refreshing sound. I think you don't hear enough of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again, enough of done well, I guess.
Yeah.
So now, before we get to the next piece
of
correspondence.
Jesse, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, Jesse, let us know how the Red Bull and Hennessy tastes. I'd be curious to find that out. And is there any Zima in this mix anywhere?
Anybody Red Bull and Zima, please don't do that.
Anybody write any songs about Zima?
Go with Plan Z, Jim.
So before we get to the next one, let's take a moment to promote our next live event.
Yes.
Which is Wednesday, April 24th. Mm-hmm. At Suns Cinema in Northwest DC.
SUNS.
Yes, it's going to be really fun. We're going to do a. You remember that movie, Heavy Metal Parking Lot?
Of course.
Short film, really.
Yes.
I think it won an Oscar.
Legendary.
Yes. It was about fans at the Capitol Center.
Place where I spent many summer evenings.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. God, yes. I saw many, many shows at the Capitol Center. Yeah.
All right. But not Judas Priest at this particular
time. I was not
time.
At that show, no. But I did see Springsteen on the River Tour there, as a matter of fact.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. But filmmaker Jeff Krulik, he went out and he shot a video, sort of, you know, documentary style of Judas Priest fans. It's called Heavy Metal Parking Lot. Yeah, I think you can find it online. If you search around, you can probably find it.
Just look for it. You can find it.
But he did another film, a documentary called Led Zeppelin Played Here. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have a screening of that at Suns Cinema, as I mentioned, on April 24th. It starts at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. And after the screening, then you and I, we're going to have a little Q&A session.
It's going to be great.
With Jeff and mm-hmm. people in the audience there can ask questions, and we can talk about the movie that we all just enjoyed together. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's a unique opportunity to ask questions of a director and filmmaker right after the movie ended. So that's kind of cool.
So check that out.
You don't often get that chance, so it's kind of cool.
It's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
And drinks will be served.
That's right.
They have a bar there at the Sun Cinema.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So come on out to that. We would love to see you.
That'd be
all right.
Great.
Now, let's get back to the new music correspondence we have here. Got a Facebook message from Enrique Cruz.
Cool.
And all Enrique says is, I've had this song in my mind all day. Maybe I just need to share it.
Love
and
it.
That was it. And then there's a link. And so here's the song.
Enough for me.
I'm just realizing now that we're breaking the rules here.
Are we?
This is not a new song.
But again, it's new to you.
It's totally new to me.
If you haven't heard it.
Does this mean anything to you?
Not until I heard it, Jim. And contrary to popular opinion or, you know, the belief of anyone who actually listens to the show, we do occasionally do prep work. And I did listen to a little bit of this on the way out here. And I got to tell you, it struck me right where I live. I loved it a lot.
It kind of has different movements to this song, too.
Man.
It goes off in some different directions.
And
it's a 5.5-minute song.
Yeah. This is a band from Santurce, Puerto Rico, and probably pronouncing that wrong. But I did bookmark their stuff on Bandcamp, and I love what they're doing. They're psychedelic. They're obscure. And kind of sounds like how you feel right before you fall down the stairs at a bar. It's a really cool music.
The song is called Monster's Mother.
Yep.
And how would you pronounce the band's name? Phantasmus?
Yeah, that's what I'd probably go with. Yeah, Phantasmus.
I don't have much information about this band, but I listened to it as well and instantly fell in love with that song. So that was great.
I like the fact that a band does have an online presence, but when you go to that online presence, it's also just as mysterious as their music. I think that's cool nowadays. You know, I think it's interesting not to give everything away in the age of social media. You know, be able to make some mystery and some obscurity, but yet still be on the streamings and the platforms and all that stuff. I think that's cool.
So that was cool. All right.
It's a good trick.
Let's wrap this up here with this. I know for sure is new music because one of our listeners, a listener from Scotland named Stephen Routledge.
Ah, glad to hear from him.
He now, starting with what I'm about to play here, he is now sending us monthly reports on new music.
Thank the Lord.
All right?
Yep.
So this one is actually from February. We're just getting to it now.
I'm all in.
Hi, Jim and Patrick. It's Stephen Routledge here over in Scotland in the UK. Got a new music pick for February for you for when you're doing your roundup later in the month. The song is called Why Am I Like This by a band called Oddity Road. They're unsigned, amazingly, to my mind, given the quality of what I've heard of their music so far. Surely they'll be getting signed soon. Unsigned band from Sheffield in the north of England. They sound very much what I think the Killers would sound like if they came from the north of England rather than Las Vegas. There's a huge amount of energy. That's the thing that really struck me when I first heard them. That was actually back in August of last year when I first came across them. I sent you a message, voicemail then. I think it got lost in the transatlantic ether recommending their track called All Again. And I would highly recommend you check that out as well. But with both All Again and Why Am I Like This, both of them really sort of crackle with energy. You just can feel it coming out the speakers as you listen to them. Might even get a little bit of air drumming going on possibly when you hear it. It really drives along. Plenty of energy, but good melody as well. Be sure to wait for the chorus when you get to Why Am I Like This as well. It kind of it echoes what they do in the intro, but it sort of really gives it a good burst. And yeah, so I'll keep it short this time. So yeah, check out Oddity Road, Why Am I Like This, and also say check out All Again as well. I think you'll like it, and hopefully the listeners will like it as well. Okay, keep rocking the suburbs every day.
Dreaming like a stranger.
Can we sign them to Rockin' the Suburbs Records?
Oh, yeah, they're unsigned, right? Yeah, we can bring them on.
Could be a good way to do it.
I just like that in the bio, and I think this is in probably every British band's bio, described as hardworking young lads.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That's a requirement. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, for tax purposes, I think.
So you have to, do it. Yeah, legal.
That's right.
Legal disclaimer. We're hardworking young lads. No, it was great.
Really cool.
You know, super catchy.
Yeah,
right?
Beautiful, big, and also controlled, and it sounded like it was recorded and produced really well. So thanks for sharing that, Stephen. Good to hear from you. I also put All Again on a little playlist as I was doing that. You know, the great thing about this, Jim, is that we get more playlists, and, you know, right now I've put Phantasmes and Oddity Road and just keep making playlists as people call in. So send us your new music stuff.
He said something about how he recommended All Again to us before, and we didn't play
but it
or something.
Lost in the ether, I don't know. Transatlantic ether. Yeah, it may have been, but
so why don't we play out with that
today? Be great.
All right. If you have new music you want to share with us, you can email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can call, leave a message 612-440-1984, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those at Suburbs Pod. Let's get out of here with Oddity Road, All Again. This is a song from last year that is described as an instant classic.
Nice.
So we'll leave you with that. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you guys with more new music tomorrow.
When this album came out, you gotta mix that with some Red Bull. Or was that a Red Bull? You can only find out if you're watching on Patreon.